Daniel chapter 1. Let me turn the music off. Sorry, Daryl. I didn't have the right sign for turning it off. So maybe I should have gone flip. So, all right, if you'll join me, I'm going to pray and we'll look briefly into Daniel. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a time set aside to pray like this and just have a brief devotional. I pray that you'd help me to just calm down and trust you and look to you, and thank you for a man like Daniel who faithfully served you. We thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let me start out kind of where we're going to end. And that's in Daniel chapter 2. I said Daniel chapter 1, but we're going to look at Daniel chapter 2 for just a moment. I know this is a time when we consider some things about prayer. And Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Azariah about the matter, in order that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." Now realize the word prayer isn't there, but that's what they did. And we see the answer. We know that he was answered. And then we see Daniel's praise of God in the following verses. We're going to go back to chapter 1 for just a little bit and just note a couple of things. A couple of things in particular. I don't think any of us, I dare say, that's true. None of us have been in a situation quite like Daniel's. We haven't been captives in another land, taken to a place where totally different from where you grew up, what you learned, what you believed, people you were around. I don't think any of us were trained to be a servant of a king, trained to be a servant with a course of study and a diet and regimen that was totally different from anything that I imagine you and I have gone through. What do we have in common? Well, we aren't captives. We're not in a foreign land, but we do live in a country that has an agenda that's going on. And it has had an agenda. In some cases, the agenda wasn't very strong, it wasn't very powerful, but it's been there all along, because as long as there are people who are on this earth who don't love God and don't seek God, then their agenda is to turn you away from God. And they'll do whatever they can, whether it's overtly, whether it's covertly, whether it's just gentle moving, they do that. We may not be in the process of actually serving somebody who's a leader, but still the idea is there that whatever we are being taught, there is a purpose. There are people who put people in certain tracks, and those tracks are designed to make them leaders, not just in a nation, but of the world. And in those tracks are not to please and honor God. I'm not saying that about Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we know that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a believer for a while, at least. He may have become a believer at one time, but we have a purpose that we are to serve and please God, and we are not to compromise. And I know I compromise every day, and I'm sure you could save yourselves. I do, too. Sometimes we compromise in a big way. Sometimes we compromise in a little way, but we must have our hearts set like a Daniel, not to compromise, not to do anything that would displease him. And yet, at the same time, to be able to live in this world, do the things that are in this world, and hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever we do, whatever we say. As I mentioned, our text was in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. What can we learn about Daniel's experience to help us to be truly righteously, honorably, non-compromising in this world? Well, first of all, let me just read some things from chapter 1, begin with chapter 1, verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. Now, first of all, I just want to point out that if you notice here, Daniel didn't rebel against what he was given to do. If you were brought up in the scriptures and now you were being asked to read and study the language, the literature of another country, which you know doesn't have anything to do with the Lord or anything honoring to him, you could say, sorry, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. But he didn't do that. He did not rebel against that. He was not fighting against his circumstances. But he didn't compromise on something that he knew was what he should or shouldn't do. And that was in the area of something to eat and to drink. Now, evidently, we're not told this, but if you read Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, where the Jews were given specific types of meat and flesh that they could and shouldn't eat, there must have been something in there that Daniel said, this is not what God would have me to do, and I'm not going to defile myself to do that. And whatever the mix of the wine was, there must have been something there that he didn't want to partake of either. He wanted just, you know, he didn't want to participate. He didn't want to compromise. Now, notice also that he was very careful about how he approached it. He didn't just say, I'm not going to do it. He gave an alternative. He asked that they be tested with the food that he asked they eat for 10 days. And his commander was a little concerned because he knew it was going to happen to him if it didn't work out. His head was going to be gone. But he was willing to do this. And I think it's because of verse 9. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. It wasn't because of Daniel per se. It was because of God working in the commander that this might be the case. I think just a couple of things for us. We have to consider our situation and we have to seek God's will. There are times when we're asked to do things that we can say, well, I'm not going to do this. Or I can't do this. I'm not going to be doing something displeasing to God by doing whatever it is that somebody asked me to do. But then there are things where, as with the food issue, but it might not be a food issue for us. It might be something else, where we have to say, no, I'm not going to do this. But if we're going to say, I'm not going to do this, it would be wise if we acted like Daniel did and said, would you test this out? Would you consider me doing it this way instead of that way? So that we're a people who are not fighting against other people and being disrespectful and dishonoring. As much as we can to be honoring and respectful in what we do when we have to say, no, I don't think I should do that. What did he do? He made up his mind that he wouldn't defile himself regarding the food and the wine. And we see how they worked that out. We see what God granted to him. And you know, it's really amazing when he sought to honor God. Notice what it says of these men. Verse 19. And out of them, all not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. Because Daniel did what he thought was right before God, God honored him far above what we would imagine somebody might, or what might happen to somebody if they tried to honor God instead of doing just what man said. And we know it says in the last verse of chapter 21, Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. And if we read in chapter 9, he was probably serving somewhere around 70 years in the courts of these different kings. Well, we know that Daniel was, or the king, was in a situation where he had some dreams, and he didn't know what the dreams were, and he wanted to know what they meant. And we know from chapter 2 that the Chaldeans couldn't answer him. They wanted him to know, well, you tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. Again, no, you got to tell me the dream and the interpretation. And because Daniel was being trained in the same track as they were, he was going to be put to death like those men were. And that's where we came to that verse in chapter 7, in chapter 2, verse 17, where Daniel, and previous to that, he went and talked to the Arioch, and he asked permission to go and speak to the king, and he did. And pretty amazing, he got to go and speak to the king pretty much just like that. But when he did, he just asked for time. The Chaldeans had basically asked for time, but they weren't going to be given it. So I think Daniel really had an ability, an honoring countenance to be able to do that. And God answered his prayer. And we're going to look at his prayer the next time I have the fifth Sunday, but I'd just like to mention a couple of things. We are a people that know God and trust him, and we have to consider everything that we do. Sometimes it's little things, sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's in between. And our desire and our purpose should be, I will compromise where I'm not going to dishonor God, but I'm not going to dishonor God and compromise when I know that what I will do will truly dishonor him, and it will be a hurtful thing, not only to people that I'm associated with, but other people. We must always keep that in mind, to trust in him and look to him and cry out to him. And that's what Daniel did with his friends. And God answered their prayers. Jim, give it to you.
Well, good morning. Wonderful to have all of you here. This is a time that we want to have prayer. We do this on the fifth Sunday, I think you know, and prayer is the essential. And I could not help but be reminded, as Richard was going over that with Daniel, how significant a character